There are two crowds. The first crowd is at the entrance to Jerusalem, and that was that gospel we heard with the blessing of the palms. And they're poor people. Now, an earthly king, an emperor, Herod, Caesar, whoever, there would be a highly organized parade, and there would be beautiful, big horses, and the best horse the king would be riding on. And there would be music and trumpets, and everything would be prearranged, and afterwards there would be speeches and a banquet. But this is just kind of a spontaneous thing, not organized by the leaders, but by the poor. And so they really don't know how these things work. They just grab branches off the trees and start waving them, you know, and throwing their cloaks at Jesus. And they say, "Hosanna to the Son of David." They recognize, they proclaim his divinity, his messiahship. They are able to recognize who he is because they're grateful that he has come to them, that he is rescuing them. The other crowd are downtown, and they're around the temple precincts, and they're in charge of the temple, and they have all kinds of authority and power and tradition on their side, and they're dressed better than these poor people out at the gate. And they hate Jesus. They've been plotting for weeks to kill him. And so they incite the crowd, and they it's this crowd mentality. The crowd who naturally, their first instinct is to recognize who Jesus is and to be grateful that he has come to save them. But carefully incited by the leaders, they change direction and they start shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him." It's a lesson in human nature. But also, it's an invitation for us who hear these gospel passages again to make a decision. Which crowd are we in? Do we recognize our poverty? Do we recognize that Christ has come to save us? Or are we somehow bothered by him? And would we rather have our own structures and our own systems? And do we resent it when he acts outside of our structures and saves people who aren't even Christian? How can this be? We have to make a decision. This whole Holy Week is about a kind of a decision on our part to follow Jesus, to recognize him, to proclaim him, and to follow him. So we celebrate the Paschal mystery, the dying and rising of Christ, and our involvement in it. And so one of the questions we're asking ourselves is, in what way are we willing to die? In what way are we following him on the way to the cross? People here have gathered every Friday during Lent and done the Stations of the Cross, praying that they would be able to walk the way of Jesus, that they would recognize this pattern of dying and rising in their own lives. So there are several interesting little details to these gospel passages that are worth noting. The first one is, Jesus rides in not on a stately horse, but on a colt, the foal of a donkey. So there's something humbling about that. And it's kind of spontaneous. And yet, in a way, it isn't. Because remember, Jesus tells his disciples where to find this colt. And if you untether it, somebody's going to ask you, "Why are you untethering that colt?" And you will say, "The master has need of it," and they'll let you do it. It's all kind of organized ahead of time by Jesus. And he's the first one. No one has ever ridden this colt before. Now, if we're talking in natural scientific terms, the first thing we'd think of is rodeo. You know, the first time you get on a colt, it bucks and tries to throw you off. That's not part of the story. This is a stylized story, isn't it? It's all symbolic. So what's the symbolism of Jesus being the first one to ever ride this colt? There's something totally original about Jesus. He's part of the human race, And people who have been born of women for centuries and centuries, long before that and afterwards, but there's something unique, something totally original about this story. You see, Jesus is going to his death. And these things are happening to Jesus. They're plotting to kill him. People are making their own decisions one way or the other in favor or against him. These things are occurring to him. And that's his humanity. But in another sense, in his divinity, he already knows what's happening. And he's already determined the outcome. And in fact, he's welcoming the outcome. He's dying intentionally and freely. In John's gospel, Jesus says, "No one takes my life from me. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again." He's totally in charge of his own destiny. This is totally unique because every other human being in history has had life taken from them. That's what death is. We lose our lives. Jesus doesn't have his life taken from him. He gives it. He offers it. And so in those wonderful words at the Last Supper, Jesus says, "Take this. This is my body." He already knows what tomorrow is going to bring. He already has decided that he's going to lay down his life, his body. He's going to let go of his body freely and intentionally so that we might be saved by it. And similarly with the blood. This is the blood of the covenant which will be shed tomorrow for the many. Jesus is in charge. Now, it's a tragedy, you know. They have this trial, and there are lying false witnesses, and there are screaming crowds, and there's chaos, and there's lying and deceit, and there's injustice. I mean, the whole thing is just so criminal. And we can't help getting caught up emotionally in the injustice of this whole thing. Even though we've heard this story dozens of times before, we know how it ends, and yet somehow we can't help getting caught up emotionally in the injustice of what's happening to Jesus. And yet, he isn't being taken advantage of. He's willingly laying down his life. And of course, this isn't ultimately a tragedy, because he's going to rise from the dead. Death really has no power over him. And he's showing us by his death and resurrection that death really doesn't have any power over you and me either. That this thing that humanity fears and dreads probably more than any other thing on earth really ultimately doesn't have any power over us, because we're going to rise from the dead. And so all the prayers today and these readings, they're all about joining Jesus in his death so that we might also have a share in his resurrection. So as we enter into this Holy Week, as we enter into the mystery, the Paschal mystery, this is not just about looking at Jesus. It's about accepting his invitation. You come and die too. You let go freely, intentionally. Don't think that they're taking it from you. You have the power to give it freely. And so lay down your life. Take the last place. Become a servant of all. That second reading says it all, doesn't it? "For he who was God did not deem equality with God something to be grasped," like all the leaders in the story. They're grasping for every bit of power and authority they can grab onto. And Jesus, the King of Kings, Lord of the universe, is freely putting himself in their hands. The irony is so amazing. And this cross, the symbol of ignominy, you know, the worst kind of punishment that the Romans could come up with. The excruciating pain of it, but the humility Jesus is stripped of his garments. He's naked hanging on the cross. I mean, you can't get more humiliated than that. And then above him, the sign, the King of the Jews. And they meant that ironically, because they don't think he's king of anything, but he's king of everything. We who follow him on the way to the cross, we who take up our own personal Calvaries, we who are willing to journey with him through death and resurrection, there's a great irony in that too, because there are people in the world who are making fun of us, people who think that religion is stupid, it's only for poor people, it's only for ignorant people. Anybody with intelligence wouldn't buy all these crazy stories. And the irony is, we who buy this story live the story. And the story has a wonderful, happy ending. Living with God, happily ever after, in the kingdom.